We're so glad you're here. This is the new frontier of church for right now. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time of worship. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing and assured that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that we are more than conquerors. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, and we are. And so we're asking today, Lord, as we gather and we make time to worship you, would you assure us and comfort us, not only that our sins are forgiven, but that you are indeed the King of heaven and earth. And as King, you love us. Would you stir that up and apply the love of Christ to our hearts today, Holy Spirit, as we celebrate Jesus taking the throne on earth. And then eventually by the end of this week, he'll be ascending to his throne in heaven. But we praise you, we thank you, and we pray to you, Lord, have mercy on us and bless us during this time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, since everything is so uncertain, and we are kind of in the unknown right now, let's anchor on some things that are certain, like our forgiveness, which has been won for us through the work of Jesus Christ. So right now, let us go through the prayer of confession. If you don't have it memorized, you can look at our Instagram story, and all of our readings for today are on there. And so if you can all read along with us in your homes, say this out loud, and remember that you are together and united with the body of Christ. And so we are going to read aloud the prayer of confession, where we can be certain that God has forgiven us, that we are children of God, that he loves us, and that he has risked everything to be with us. Let us all pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right.
Amen.
Well, happy Palm Sunday, everyone. I am glad that you guys are watching and still gathering with us. And today we are celebrating Christ's triumphal entry into our chaos, into our uncertainty and fear. At the time that Jesus went into Jerusalem, it was a very politically charged climate that he was going into. He was risking his life to be our king, to declare himself a king of peace as he rode in on a donkey. So right now, I want to take a moment to read the passage of Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem as he declares himself king of peace over our lives. So this is found in our reading of John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. It's also page 524 in our Bibles. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." So riding off of the high of witnessing Jesus raise a man who was 4 days dead in the tomb, the people around him couldn't help but to respond with Hosanna. Save us. Please save us, Lord. And this is the cry to the Prince of Peace, the one who has victory over death. And so we cry this out today. Please save us, Lord. Hosanna. That should be the cry in our homes right now, as we are separated and scared and losing work, uncertain about what our futures are going to look like. We, as a church, cry out to God our Father, Hosanna. Save us. And we can say this because he has the power to save. And so for right now, I want to go into our meditative time. And I want to read Philippians. It's Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So let's take a moment to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus, I confess that you are Lord. And I ask that you bring peace into our lives today, that you bring us comfort right now as we settle in your presence, that you are King over us. You are our God and we are your people. And we can rest securely in your victory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Are we still meditating, or did you want to have some time? We're good?
Yeah.
Good. Amen. So as we come out of just even a moment to anchor in the reality that Christ gave everything to assure you that you're loved and you're saved, we move into what's happening after this triumphal entry. What happens after Palm Sunday, what we're celebrating today, Jesus is King, Jesus save us, and now we kind of look at what does this mean? And so your finger, if you had your Bible open to page 525 or 524, we're going to continue reading the rest of the story after the triumphal entry, and that's what we'll consider today as we speak. But it's chapter 12, John chapter 12, verses 20 through 36. Mm-hmm. And as I set it up, as you get there, John 12, verse 20, we're continuing the idea of conversations with Jesus, that we've been looking at Jesus having specific conversations and how in those conversations he changes you, he sees who you are, he brings things back to life in you. And this one's a little interesting because it's with a group of people, not just one person. So let's read it and ask the Holy Spirit to work in us and write his word on our hearts as we consider it today. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was at Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light." This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. So in this conversation, we've been noticing, Matt, that every time people talk to Jesus, he's going to get to the question behind the question. He's going to be really honest, mm-hmm. which is then going to produce complete confusion on us. But then that confusion leads to trust. And I think we can follow that yes. through these conversations with the group of people. So right after he comes in to Jerusalem on his way to the temple. Everyone's crying out, "Save us, save us." They're laying down palm branches. He's fulfilling prophecy, coming in on a donkey. And this is important because he, the kind of king that Jesus is, he's a king of peace. He's not coming in with tanks and with weapons. Mm-hmm. He's coming in peaceful. And that's who our king is. And so everyone's saying, "This is our king." So the expectation is Jesus is coming in to set up his kingdom. It's going to be great. Right?
Yes. So this is, so there's a lot going on right now. But if you remember from last week, our last conversation with Jesus was Jesus and Lazarus. Jesus has a conversation with a dead man and he brings him back to life. And what I never had connected was as Jesus goes into Jerusalem, one, his disciples are going, "Why are we doing this? This is a death sentence. The leaders want to kill you." But he now has all these people screaming out Hosanna, and the reason they're there is because they either witnessed Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, or they heard about it from someone they trusted and knew, and it's leading up to Passover, and they're freaking out going, "This is it! This is it!" And so there's all of a sudden this unexpected, I think unexpected momentum that the disciples are starting to get a glimmer of hope.
Right.
And they're getting excited.
They're getting a lot of followers on their Facebook or their Instagram, and they're going, "Hey, there's a movement here." But before we get into this, I have to give everyone the main idea for today to cling to.
Okay.
So here's what God is saying to us in these conversations with the original audience and with us. And that is, I'm giving you comfort going into the unknown. You are headed into the unknown, and I will give you comfort. So I'm announcing to you, Matt and I are announcing yes. to you today, there is comfort in the unknown. And today, more than any other time that I've been alive, we have the opportunity as a church to identify with the original audience during Holy Week.
Yes.
And here's what I mean. They're coming in with Lazarus risen from the dead, calling Jesus king, they think they know what is coming tomorrow. They think they know what life looks like. And immediately, Jesus is saying, they're trying to kill Lazarus, they're trying to kill me, I'm going to die. And you see Holy Week play out, and every day of Holy Week is more unknown by the disciples. The disciples are going, what are you doing, Jesus? You're doing mm-hmm. everything wrong. Mm-hmm. I thought we were doing this, and now it's going, I thought we were going to take over, and now it looks like we're going to be killed.
Yes.
And so that's where we're at today. We thought we knew what Easter would look like. We thought we knew 4 weeks ago, we were planning to buy things for each other and to meet together, and we thought we knew. And so the opportunity I see for us is to identify with the unknown, because that actually is the reality of our world, is that everything is a gift from God, and that in the unknown, which is our world of death, Christ breaks in and he has something to say to us. And the main idea for us today is, I give comfort. I come alongside. I make promises to you that I can keep. No one else can keep. And these are promises to be your king, to love you, to provide for you. I know the future. I know you. I will not let you go. So now let's talk about that. How do I know this? Where do I get this out of here? So we'll break it down. So be comforted in the unknown.
Yeah.
And I think what's probably the most comforting thing, when you don't know anything, what would be the most comforting thing to you, Matt? Like, you know nothing that's going on. You see me and you say, Adam, what's the... Now I'm playing a game to try and figure out the word.
What's the deal? What's okay. going on?
What's going on?
What's happening?
What's the...
Okay, good news.
What's the word?
What's the word? Good job, Anthony. I'm trying to bait you to a certain word.
Yeah, I don't know it.
When you don't know what's going on and you want to know what's coming next.
What's the plan?
Is there a plan?
Val knew it.
Right. My wife knew it because that's the conversations we have every day. But before where we're yeah. at now, before, remember, it's like, where do you want to eat out?
Oh, yeah.
What are we doing after church? Mm-hmm. What's the plan? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was just going to see what happened. Not mm-hmm. good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That in a relationship, we're always looking for what's the plan. And even now, as so many are getting furloughed, as the unknown of work is happening, we're desperately trying to go, what is the plan? Like, what do we do moving forward? Mm-hmm. How is school going to go? We were walking yesterday and we heard a guy say to a neighbor, he's like, how you doing? And they have a senior at Boone High School. And they're like, well, there's no prom. There's no graduation. There's no... grad night, there's no, and he's listing all the things that were planned.
Mm-hmm.
So now what?
There's no plan.
And when there's no plan, it's, you're discouraged and you're upset because the plan's gone, but then you're scared. Like, yeah. Well, what is going to happen? And so I think we have Jesus here. He's come in as the king. And now some Greeks want to talk to him. I actually love this scene because Philip is like, oh, can we let these Gentiles talk to Jesus? I guess so. Andrew, he gets Andrew. So Andrew and Philip go to Jesus and yeah. they say,
like, oh yeah. So they're trying to get Jesus to meet with these guys because they're excited because people outside of the Jewish family are excited about Jesus. And so I think at this point, they want to keep the momentum going and they're trying to build the movement. And they're like, Jesus, let these guys come in. We now have more people. Adam, get them more followers. And Jesus then comes in with a perfectly cryptic saying that I know just in the moment confused them, because the first time I read it, I was like, why? What are you saying, Jesus? Why would you say that right now? And you don't. And it feels like he's not even answering their question. But what he's brilliantly doing is he's answering the question beyond the question.
Yes. Because they're going, can we talk to you? And he says, yeah, he answered them with, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat dies, and he gives this whole speech. That's
this whole harvest analogy.
And their question is, can we talk to you? And Jesus, so to me, it's like the kids saying, can we get ice cream or get pizza? And my wife says, clean your room. But the question was ice cream or pizza? Clean your room. The people with clean rooms shall inherit the ice cream or something. It's like he's answering the question, the bigger question, which is like, now is not the time to build this movement and to get big, because now is the time we're going to fight and conquer. Now is the time we're moving towards death.
Well, yeah. So I was thinking he's answering the long-term question, because they're asking a short-term. They're saying, let's get more followers now. And Jesus says, oh, I will, but you're not going to like my answer. Mm-hmm. For that to happen, for those Greeks to legitimately be brought into our movement, someone's going to have to die to make peace with them. And that someone is their king and me. So if we want to build this movement, I have to die for it. That's the plan.
So the plan, he continued, yeah, the plan is I'm going to die and bear much fruit. It's not a comforting plan when you're trying to get your mind wrapped around it.
Yeah, especially when you're freaked out. And so in this little conversation right here, what I'm seeing is when we have fear, when we are freaked out about the circumstances around us and we're trying to solve the problem out of fear, Jesus has faith in God's word. He knows what he's doing, and he's willing to do what's necessary and what's difficult and what's impossible for us to do. He's willing to take those steps to secure our future. Yeah. And so he has faith in God's plan when we have fear. And so he gives us that faith in the midst of our fear.
And he says, I think this is comforting. What's comforting for me is that when Jesus presents the plan, it's okay that you don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to understand the plan for the plan to be applied to you. And Jesus says, here is the plan. I'm going to be honest with you. And then he says, what's the line? If you lose, whoever loves his life loses it. Yeah. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You must follow me and you'll honor the Father. Now, those words have confused me for a long time. But I looked up the phrase, and when it says whoever hates his life in this world, it does not mean literally that you hate the world. You hate, because remember, God created everything and it's good. And he calls us to the world to love one another. So this is actually a phrase where you might have God saying, Isaac I loved, or Jacob I loved, Esau I hated.
Yep.
And it says Leah, Jacob loved Rachel and he hated Leah, and then mm-hmm. he blessed Leah with a child. The language is preference. And so where you're putting your preference. So Rachel was preferred over Leah, but he still loved Leah. And so the idea is not that you hate everything in this world. It actually is you prefer and you're saying, I want to have a life with Jesus.
You're right.
Versus I want to have a life apart from Jesus, just by myself in this world. And so Jesus, very plainly, he's not being cryptic. He goes, if you want to have a life without Jesus right here, cool. There is no promise for eternal life. When it's over, it's over. That's a fact. Them's the facts. If you want to have a life with Jesus and you don't just want a life without him, then you'll keep your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says here, I know you don't understand everything, but just trust me. There's a plan for you. It's going through death. It's not avoiding, because every other plan is how do I secure myself from ever experiencing death or lack or suffering? Jesus says, I'm going to walk through it. This is the plan. Stay with me. Just stay with me.
Yeah.
That's it. So that's the first part.
Yeah, that's the first. Yeah. So now we get into the second conversation. And this is really kind of between Jesus and the Father. So we get another rare moment that I forget is even in the story of God the Father speaking to Jesus. And this is where Jesus is honest and shares his feelings about the plan. And he says, now my soul is troubled. I am in distress. Jesus understands what he has to do. And he's troubled about it. It's not easy. It's not something that he's just whimsically going forward with. He's engaging the suffering and the pain and the separation that death brings. But he's going to do it because he continues to have this faith in God the Father. And here we see the Father give him the authority to carry out this plan.
Yeah, last week he wept.
Mm-hmm.
And now this week, he just admits, I'm troubled. So it's okay to admit, we're troubled. And our Savior knows it's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, but I didn't come here to save myself.
Right.
And that's very comforting to me. We don't have a Savior who just came to save himself. And then he says, I just want you to be glorified, God. And that's, I realize this is one of three times that God speaks out loud in the New Testament. Do you remember the first time he speaks in the New Testament where God's voice comes from heaven?
Do you want me to answer?
I guess, unless you guys know. My family's here. Lowry said Jesus' baptism. Right. That's a big moment. Jesus says, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. When's the second time God's voice comes from heaven? Matt?
The transfiguration.
The transfiguration. This is my son with whom I'm well pleased.
Listen to him.
So those are big moments. Baptism, transfiguration, it reveals who he really is. And now we have his soul is troubled because he's on his way to march through death and to march through the wrath of God on all death. That's what we kind of forget, that there's the wrath of God he's going through. And God says, this is a big moment. And he says, I will glorify you. I will glorify my name and I will glorify it again. Saying, what you've done has given me glory, Jesus. And when you rise again, it's going to give me more glory.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus says, this wasn't for me. Everyone who heard it. And this goes back to Old Testament, God speaking.
Yeah, from the mountain. Yeah.
In Deuteronomy, he retells it in Exodus where it's, God is giving the Ten Commandments. God is speaking in a fire. And so you have God speaking again. It's a big moment. And Jesus says, this was for you because you need to know what the plan is. And not only do you have a Savior who is going to carry out the plan, stick to the plan, but God confirms the plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a God-confirmed plan. All the backing of his power and love is behind it. All comfort.
Yeah. So then we have Jesus further explain the plan to the people around him. And he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. I love that. So now he has the confirmation of God and he recognizes the judgment of God is coming down on him. Through this, he's going to dethrone Satan, and from his resurrection he's drawing all people to himself.
Right. I mean, during our quarantine we've recorded a lot of survivors, and this is like the moment where the most powerful person in Survivor says, I have a immunity idol. I'm going to use it on you. I'm going to take out the people who, your enemies, trust me, you're with me. I'm going to do all these moves for you.
Okay.
And you have to trust them. Now, on the show, Survivor breaks down because the person you have to trust.
Right.
But that's what I feel here is like Jesus is saying to us, I can win the immunity for you. I'm going to win it for you. I'm going to give it to you. Stick with me. Stay. All you got to do, stay by me. Hold on to me. Can you do that?
But I love,
no, Lord, help me.
But what I love is what everyone around him hears is, wait, so you're going to die?
Yeah.
It's like the first time they finally heard him.
He's been saying it for many chapters.
He's been saying it in almost every conversation. And now they finally hear, but wait, we read that the Son of Man, the Messiah, is going to live forever and ever.
Right.
Did you just say you're going to die?
Yes.
I love that. Jesus is like giving them the game plan of to victory, and the only thing we get caught up on is, but death looks scary.
And that's not right. That can't be right.
That can't be right. That can't be the plan.
No, because all the temptations of Christ, it's always, I think this is appropriate today, is when he's been in the desert, it's turn these rocks into bread, or on the cross, save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit of the world is always going to say, save yourself. Right now, this week, how are you going to save yourself? And so that's how we, when we hear Jesus, we're like, how are you going to save yourself? Because that will prove that you're saving, you can save us.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus goes, it's all wrong. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man does not live by your job alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man does not live by money alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh, dwelt among you. You will live by His love and His power and His provision. So you switch your whole mentality of, I have to save myself and my Savior has to save himself. That doesn't even make sense. He came to save you and He's going to do it. And He already has. And He's comforting us with words that we may or may not understand because we're completely blind, right? We're in the unknown.
Yeah.
Which Jesus is aware of, and that's why He uses this language. One of His favorite metaphors is light and darkness. I think it's because Jesus was at creation and remembers the power of God's voice saying, let there be light. Jesus is like,
good.
So He always uses light and darkness because he's like, y'all don't understand. I don't use that language, y'all, but maybe Jesus does when He's with us.
That's great.
You don't understand how brilliant and how powerful the light is in the darkness. It's the most beautiful thing you could see, the new creation. And so He says, I am the light.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's a Boy Scout. You know, when you go camping, what's one of the things? Did you know you're a Boy Scout?
Did I?
Eagle Scout over here. And every good Boy Scout I've ever met, they're always so concerned about when you get to your camp, what do you have to do?
Build a fire.
Why?
For light. Warmth, a lot of things, food.
It's fire, always fire for
stories.
Everything. Stories, but also it's like, we gotta get everything done before the sun goes down.
Yeah, light, we're concerned about light.
Right, always concerned about light.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm setting you up to talk about that. Why don't you
tell me here more? We have Jesus saying, I'm the light in your darkness. Mm. I'm the clarity in your confusion. When you feel like everything is overwhelming and out of control and you are in the dark, come to me because I have light. I break into your darkness. I break into your confusion. I bring comfort and clarity. And you can trust me because I will not only bring that to you, but I will transform you from children of darkness to children of light. And you now are light bearers in this world. You're image bearers of God, and you now carry this light to the darkness that's trying to overwhelm us.
Because He says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons and daughters of the light. And I agree with you. It's, think of yourselves as little nightlights right now.
Mm-hmm.
A kid needs a nightlight because they're scared. We're all scared. The world is scared. We do not know. We are in the darkness and in the unknown. And the comfort that Christ brings is, He says, here's a little light. All light always gives hope.
Yeah.
And I've always told the story, like when we were in Vegas, we were in the desert. I was on the motorcycle freezing. You saw the city. It was still 45 minutes away, but just seeing the city of Las Vegas in the darkness gave me hope to keep going. Like, we're almost there. And that's what Jesus is saying to us in the unknown. Yeah. I'm here now. Come to me. Here's how you find comfort. Just bring your requests to me and leave them with me. Believe the words of God when He says, I will save you. I will feed you. I will provide for you. My God is big enough, and I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
Take comfort. You don't have to understand everything. God won't show you what's happening tomorrow. He doesn't give us the future, but He gives us right now these moments where we hear His word. We're going to pray, and during the prayer all week, pray and ask the Lord to give you His comfort. And you only get comfort from someone who has a plan and can carry it out. And that's what Jesus has done here. The plan makes no sense to us, but we just follow Him.
Yeah.
And what we'll know and we'll find out is that He rises again, and so will you. We rise again. Death cannot, He's conquering death future, but He's also conquering the death of all of our dreams today, the death of all of our control, the death over my career, over how is money going to look? How is family going to look? How is health going to look? How is the world going to look? He's going to resurrect your hope that you don't have to know how it's going to look. You just need to know who to look to, and you cling to him, and he will embrace you and love you and fill you with the Holy Spirit and give you a moment of peace, just a flicker of light. Enjoy it. And when it goes out, reignite it. So these conversations, I pray, would comfort you as we are in the unknown. Let me pray. Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ. You were not quiet. You did not just wait for us to figure it out, but you came to us because you love us. Thank you that Jesus is going to rise from the dead, that he raised Lazarus, and he's going to raise all of us, all those who are identified as not perfect people, not good people, but just people of faith. That's our identity. And that we're secure in the work of Christ, the plan carried out by Christ. It is ours by faith. Thank you, Jesus. And now our purpose and our meaning is to be a light, to love our neighbors. Help us to do that when we don't know how. I pray that you'd bless this word to your people's hearts, Lord. I thank you for New City. I love them. And pray for your blessing over them. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you can find the Apostles' Creed, this is one way that we are comforted, that we know who we are and why we're secure and where we're going and what we're supposed to do. The Apostle Creed is our confession of faith. And so I ask you, if at home you can read along, say it out loud, that you're not alone in these beliefs. So I ask, Christian, what is it that you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
So at this point, we want to remind everybody that I believe at our website you can watch everything that's going on, and also there's online giving. As we go through the unknown, what we know is that we're committed to God's word being proclaimed on earth as it is in heaven. We're committed to worshiping our God and looking to him to provide all of our needs. So we still give however we're led to and whatever we can. It's an opportunity. I think the giving is still an opportunity to engage your faith, and it actually grows your faith. The more you trust the Lord in these ways, the more your faith grows, and you just start to trust him more. And money is a good place to trust the Lord. So we want to remind everybody of that. We also have, you know, during church, when we're able to gather, we like to create a time to pray for one another and to write down prayer requests. Continue to pray for the people who are getting married and trying to figure out. That keeps getting more and more difficult to figure out when and how, and that whole business is about planning. So continue to pray for Miranda and Mike and their wedding, and for Peter and Ray and their wedding. And you have a friend, Matt, was scheduled to do his first wedding for Elizabeth and John.
Yeah.
So we know we have three couples that we were planning to do weddings for. Pray for them. And I keep hearing stories too, as we go, more and more people are being furloughed, are being let go, or I know there's a date where that discussion is coming back up. And so while we can, while we still have jobs, we pray that we continue to have them. And let's pray too for all those whose work is being reorganized right now. And the idea of what's essential and not essential is kind of the topic we're stuck in. It's pretty difficult. So if we could pray for one another, I don't know, I don't really have permission to say everybody. I don't know if everybody wants me to say who, but just know that there's several of us at New City who are trying to figure that out. And so as you pray for one another, pray for provision that God would provide for them, but really pray that God would protect their hearts from being overwhelmed by fear. You know, that's my prayer is I'm praying that God would give them faith that they could still enjoy and see all that God is providing in the unknown of work, but work is just a part, and that they could receive God's love and then realize work is what he's called us into to love our neighbor, right?
Right.
So this might be a time, I'm praying that work would be put in its right place and that we could still have access to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, goodness. All the fruits of the Spirit are ours all the time. So I don't know if there's anything else that comes to mind. That's the biggest thing on my mind for praying.
Just bringing up the essential, non-essential. For those of you who are in jobs that have been declared non-essential, I just want to say to you that the Lord declares you essential in his kingdom, that you are highly valued in the kingdom of God.
Mm. Amen.
So I just want to continue to speak words of truth to you in these times.
And we praise God, as far as we know, everybody in our community
is healthy.
It's healthy. Matt's wife, baby Mabel is doing great.
She is.
And we're all being as safe as we possibly can be. And Ba and Papa and are healthy, and Joyce is healthy still, and everybody's good. So we praise God for that, and we pray that he continues to provide. Let me pray for everybody real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up to you New City Church, and I just begin by thanking you for the people that make up our congregation and the people who are just watching who are connected to someone in our congregation. I thank you for these people. They are great gifts to me and to Matt and to our families and to your church. I pray that they might feel essential to us. They are. And then, Lord, I pray that you would protect our hearts and our minds, that you would give us that peace that passes all understanding, because we know you have a plan for us and that you're carrying it out. We just don't know. So help us in our blindness and as children to trust you. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd continue to protect our people. I pray that you'd continue to provide, that you'd open up opportunities for the future for those of us who are already furloughed or don't know, or for those of us who are still waiting. Protect our jobs, bless us, and lead us, Lord. Our hope is that whatever happens, you're leading us into something new, something we just re-engage, and the opportunity for love, joy, and peace never go away. They have nothing to do with money. They have to do with your Spirit in us through Jesus Christ. Protect us. And then, Lord, we pray for the world. We pray that you would wipe out this virus, that you would restore the economy, that you'd bless all the people working and loving, and you bring a resurgence of love and grace and a connection and the need for knowing Jesus in our world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And maybe while I prepare to do music, you could tell people about maybe the Lord's Supper and how we approach that.
Yeah, so we've been doing the Lord's Supper now via FaceTime or just some video chat on our phones, and it's been working out. So please feel free to let Adam and I know, and we will figure out a way to do it with you guys, because we do not want to stop engaging the communion of the saints. That when we take the Lord's Supper, we are communing with one another and with God, and we are connected to each other through that. So continue to let us know times that would work for you. And it's just simply we call you, and if you have some bread, wine, or grape juice, we just bless it over the phone and take it with you. And it's a really special time. So continue to let us know. Receive the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Serve the Lord. That's right.